Good morning. I'm so glad to be with all of you this morning. I think every week that I'm grateful for a community to help keep me grounded, keep me focused on that which is important. So let's pray before we begin. Gracious God, we receive all that you have for us today. Give us hearts that are yielded to your work, ears that are open to your word, hearts that are humble to receive rebuke and your love. Make us more in your image every day. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Today we're going to start in Luke 10, 25 through 37. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now you have likely heard this story before, even before the excellent presentation for children's message. Even if you didn't grow up in a more religious household, this is a common story present in our culture. Oftentimes, a good person working for the good of other people is called a good Samaritan. And this is a good reading of this scripture, telling us that we should be mindful of our own ideas about who does good and that they are not always correct. We would have expected the religious leaders to do something. Though they each had different roles in society, they came from the same culture and community as the hurt man, and each possessed a mandate from God to care for the hurting. Why didn't they stop? We can ask this question of ourselves as well. For our first hearing of this story, the main point that most people draw from it is this. Offer mercy. Be good. Help those in need, even when they are different from yourself. This is a true message, one that's very clear in the text. Jesus says it is important for us to care for one another and offer compassion to those in need, regardless if we share a culture or community. Those who are hurting should be offered support above and beyond what they might need. But I want us to dig a little deeper into the story today. When Jesus gives the final instruction to the lawyer who was looking to justify himself, he says this, go and do likewise. I think correctly, most people have heard and believed that the one whose actions we are supposed to match is that of the Samaritan, the person who's offering compassion to their neighbor. But today, we're also going to ask what Jesus might be saying if the one we are mimicking is the hurt man. What if the actions of the wounded one, and not just the compassionate one, are important for us to follow? A professor that I know, Cutter Calloway, has a daughter who would request certain Bible stories at night, and she once asked her father to tell her the story of the hurt man. That is this story, and that's the direction we're going to see this story from today. As we consider the hurt man, and not just the Good Samaritan, what might he have to teach us? Let's enter into a little bit of theological imagination, as I'm going to tell this story from the perspective of that hurting man. I know that my 18-mile trip will not be without risk, but it has to happen, so I prepare as best I can. I am conscious as I make my plans that there is very little between Jerusalem and Jericho, essentially no food or water or shelter between the cities. And if a storm whips up, as it often does, there will be little protection from the elements on the path, but I plan to make the trip without harm. As I begin my descent from the city, I take good care to walk only on the path, for the mountain is not easy to get down without the well-worn walkway made by many generations of faithful pilgrims and visitors. The flaky limestone underfoot makes for potential danger. The wind brings the dust of the ground up around me. I close my mouth to make sure none of it gets in my lungs. The sun shines down on me, warming my shoulders and my back. I'm always cautious when I get to a corner to try and avoid getting jumped by some thieves, but this time it's not enough. As I round the corner, one drops behind me, cutting me off from my path that I came from. I'm startled. I scramble, trying to go forward, but two or three more appear in front of me. I know I'm in trouble. I offer up my bag, my money, my resources, hoping that my willingness will spare me further harm. Instead, they take my things, and then I am thrown to the ground, beaten and kicked over and over. I try to protect my head, but then my stomach and my chest are exposed. It goes on for so long, I cannot even tell if I might have a part uninjured. My body is limp, bleeding, and I can barely think, so strong is my dizziness and confusion. I hear them jeering as they walk off, preparing to set up another unsuspecting soul for ambush. I can't see any way out of my situation. Surely I will die on this road. Finally, I hear the noises of someone coming. I pray in desperation that this one does not want to harm me and is not another group of robbers, leaving me dead. As they get closer, I crack my weary eyes open and see that it is a priest of my own faith, a true believer in God. There could be no better situation. After such harm, God is bringing me one of God's own to take care of me. As they get closer, I wait, my throat too parched to even say a word. They nearly stop when they reach me, their feet hesitating. The path is narrow here, and I'm lying across most of it. Then, like a punch to the gut, the priest steps over my body and continues on his way. I want to shout. I feel betrayed and angry and grieved. How could you? As the footsteps fade, I lie in wait and in fear. Later, another set of approaching footsteps. I cautiously open my eyes, heavier than the last time, and I see a Levite, one from God's chosen tribe. Surely this one will offer me a hand, or even just a drink of water. I hear a quiet gasp as they near me and see my terrible injuries, and I try to shift just a bit to indicate that I am still alive and that I need help. But before I can, they carefully and quickly shuffle around my body, not getting too close. They were more concerned about their ritual contamination and being prevented from entering into the temple than they were if I was still alive. I wish I could cry, so great is my pain and my grief. I hear another person coming along the road, and I am sure that my luck has run out. There's almost no way that this third person is not here to harm me. As they approach with clicking hooves and quiet feet, I pray that they at least think that I'm dead and let me lay here in peace. I'm too weak to even open my eyes and see what is about to happen. I hear them stop near me, and I know this is bad news. Then I hear the rustling of cloth, some clinking bottles of wine and oil, and an accent when they speak, and I can't help but be shocked. I manage to look, and it is a Samaritan. Not only is he ethnically different from me, but his people claimed to know the true faith, but I knew better. His faith is just a bad version of my true faith. I almost shuddered at the thought of a Samaritan like him touching me, even if he was trying to help. Why would he carry bandages near my lifeless body? His people and mine had always been against each other. I'm weak enough that I probably could protest, but what good would it do me? I knew my state and what would happen if he left me. I find myself blacking out as he lifts me to place on his own donkey, and I'm too exhausted to even say a word. I wake up, still in great pain, a little disoriented as to where I was. I know that I'm no longer outside, but I don't know if I'm in danger. The last person I knew had any power over me was someone I didn't trust at all. So perhaps he had done something harmful or sold me to pay some debts or something else terrible. So I rise and I find myself in a room. I make my way out and seek someone with answers. I find an innkeeper and I ask, "How did I come to be here? Where am I?" He told me that I was at an inn and I had been brought in by that man that I distrusted, that Samaritan. I asked how much it would cost for me to have stayed already longer than my pockets could have afforded, and he said that that Samaritan had paid for my care and had left money in trust to ensure that I received what I needed. By this point, I'm already dizzy from being upright for so long, so I return to my room to process this information. This person I did not like. Their heritage was suspect, their religion untrue and deceptive in its claims. Who I would never have associated with, nor he with me, this one had ensured that I was cared for, and I wouldn't lack anything while I healed. What does this mean for me? So this story, and my recreation of it, is not intended to be untrue to the text, but just a different way of hearing all of the elements of the parable that Jesus tells us. Instead of focusing on the Good Samaritan, the hurt man. In this angle, we ask, how can I go and do likewise as the person who is hurt? This is a much more difficult question. It is easier to be the hero of the story, even if it means giving something up, than it is to be the victim of the story, required to give up your own pride and dignity. The theological center of this story is that we as believers should be willing to be helped by those who are not like us, maybe even those we consider to be beneath us or less righteous than us. Even those who may have hurt you, this story tells us, may also have something to offer you in your time of need. So as we ask ourselves what this other meaning of Jesus's instruction might have, I want us to think about a 5-step path for following in the way of the hurt man. So first, in order to be helped by those who are different from us, we have to be around those who are different than us. If all of your friends and acquaintances are like you in skin tone, in cultural group, in gender, in political perspective, in sexuality, in financial bracket, in religious group, how could you even be open to the compassion of others if all of your friends are the same? We should be brave enough to understand that that difference is not a threat to us, but an opportunity. Second, we should recognize our own neediness. If we are beaten and bloodied, lying on the side of a dusty Judean road, it's pretty easy to recognize our need. But it's a lot harder to be honest with ourselves about our needs in our financial state, our emotional state, our spiritual state. We should recognize now that we have a need, and that need is a serious one. Your need might be a need for knowledge, a knowledge that you haven't even discovered that you lack. Maybe your need is a need for devotion, a reminder through the depth of others' conviction that reminds us of our lack of conviction. Maybe our need is a need for love, love that we have kept ourselves from because we perceive it as a threat rather than a gift. But without awareness of our need, we cannot learn. Third, we must choose to be humble rather than to be proud. Pride of self and self-importance gets us nowhere. It is so easy to inflate. True humility means seeing ourselves for what and who we are, no more and no less. Fourth, we need to see the possibility of God's hand through others, that God might offer you support through someone you don't like. The Samaritan people and the Jewish people had a very serious conflict, and much of it was at least initially legitimate. They had every reason to distrust one another and to desire harm against the other. This was not a matter of, he said something mean about my grandmother, but a complicated racial and religious and cultural war. But as Christians, the lesson here is that God shows up in even those we perceive as least like God, because God is not limited by our ideas about who is worthy to help us. The last piece of the puzzle is just to practice these things. Our choice to be humble, to be ready to receive help, to be aware of our own neediness, and to interact with others who are different from ourselves is the only way to learn the lesson of that hurt man. How do we inherit eternal life? We must love God and love our neighbor. And how do we love God and love our neighbor? We must offer compassion to others and receive compassion from others. You've been listening to me, Pastor Kana Moore, at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to those local, national, and international missions, and they help keep these broadcasts free. If you would like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our website at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas, 67601. If you have any questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our website and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.